this stop may be hard to listen to. Under the windows in this room are large boxes used for water torture. In the one at the left, the prisoner was laid on his back. His ankles were secured by the leg irons at the top. His head was near the floor. Then his head was covered with a cloth and water was poured onto his face to simulate drowning. In the United States, this method of interrogation is called waterboarding. In the center painting between the windows, the victim is a woman. The man in the foreground here is taking centipedes from a box to place in her wounds or her private parts. Boxes for insects are just to the left of the painting. On the right-hand wall are more images of water torture. In front of the paintings are the custom-made torture devices OneUp has depicted. In the paintings themselves, cross-sections show how victims were secured. To hear about the rules for torture and how frustration provoked anger in one interrogator, press the yellow button. Deutsch divided interrogation into categories: mild, hot, and chewing, like a dog chews a bone. The last one was for prisoners of high rank or special importance, or those who would not easily confess. Torture here was supposed to be systematic and impersonal. Here are some of Deutsch's rules.
The aim of torture is to get a response. We don't do it for fun. We must make the prisoner suffer in order to get a quick answer. You are required to break him, frighten him, terrorize him. Never use it to relieve your anger. You must beat him to frighten him, but he mustn't die. Before his torture, you check his health, examine the club. Never proceed in haste. If he dies, we lose the document.
Staff members rarely left the S21 compound and had to attend regular self-criticism meetings. They were ordered to maintain revolutionary determination and discipline. They were not supposed to have any emotions about prisoners at all. But one interrogator recalled how the young men enjoyed watching female victims arrive and touch them when no one was looking. He remembered being attracted to one young woman he questioned and taking out his frustrations on her.
It was forbidden to have feelings for girls and forbidden to love an enemy. My heart was aching. I was full of lust. I was furious not to be able to make love to her or touch her. It got me on edge. I was full of hatred and I beat the enemy.
This room documents some of the destruction the Khmer Rouge inflicted as it tried to sweep away all that had sustained Cambodian culture. At the left, the first panel represents the devastation of religion. Traditional faiths were forbidden. People were supposed to believe only in Angkor. One photograph here shows elaborate carvings from an ancient temple lying on the ground. Buddhist monks were killed. Temples and other holy places became detention centers or places for bodies. In Phnom Penh, the Khmer Rouge even tore down an entire Catholic cathedral. The next panel includes Buddhist statues shattered by violence. Below the broken Buddhas are Cham people. This ethnic minority with Muslim beliefs was specifically targeted. At the top of the panel is an empty movie theater, still filled with chairs, the most modern in the city. It even boasted an escalator. The arts were banned as decadent unless they glorified the revolution. Even the economy was willfully destroyed. Another photograph shows abandoned machinery in a textile factory, like the one Chomai worked in. A few such factories still functioned, making hats and uniforms. But most mechanics and engineers had been killed or sent to forced labor. To maintain equipment, the Khmer Rouge had to bring in technicians from China. The leaders believed that fear, renunciation, and hard work would produce success. That will was more important than experience. But of course, it was not enough. The opposite side of the room focuses on destruction in Phnom Penh. To hear about it, press the yellow button. We begin with the panel at the left. On the 17th of April, 1975, the Khmer Rouge entered Phnom Penh. Homes and hospitals, factories and markets, pagodas, offices and universities, all were emptied. This city became a ghost town. Before the Khmer Rouge victory, in the final days of the Lono regime, battles raged on the outskirts of the city, and many buildings were damaged. But some places were destroyed on purpose, as you can see at the top right in this panel. This ruined building was once the National Bank. The Khmer Rouge abolished money and blew it up. Educational institutions were abandoned or turned into prisons like this one. The only education allowed was revolutionary propaganda and self-criticism meetings. Now look at the right-hand panel. Near the middle of this panel is a field of cars driven into heaps and abandoned. At the bottom right, you will find a ruined Olympic Stadium, once the pride of the city. The Khmer Rouge wanted to destroy not just the enemies, they wanted to destroy everything. This room documents some of the destruction the Khmer Rouge inflicted as it tried to sweep away all that had sustained Cambodian culture. At the final room in Building D shows what happened at the end. Please turn around and look above the doorway. This huge photograph shows a mass grave found in the northwest of the country. In fact, there were mass graves, more than 300 of them, all over Cambodia. The Chiang Hai killing fields, just outside the city, were established when there was no more room to bury victims here at S21. Prisoners from other security centers were killed there too. Warnock's paintings in this room document what happened to them. To maintain absolute secrecy, victims were blindfolded and driven in trucks at night. Men, women, and children were separated. They were told they were going to a new home, but at Chiang Hai, they were put in a dark hut, then brought out, made to kneel on the edge of a pit, and murdered. They were not shot. To save bullets and to keep noise to a minimum, adults were usually executed by a blow to the head with an iron bar or a pickaxe. Then their throats were cut to make sure they were dead. 20,000 people may have died at Chiang Hai. Many remains have not been recovered. But the remains you see here have been carefully preserved. They probably belong to early S21 victims who were killed and buried on the prison grounds. We may never know who they were or all that happened in this dark period of Cambodian history.